The Alabama Crops Report Podcast, your trusted information source for Alabama agriculture.
All right, everybody, we are here in the Roman studio once again. We just got our winter meeting finished where we finalized all of our production meetings. So y'all be looking in the near future for your agents to post our production meeting dates and locations. We got a room full here, so I'm going to kind of leave out introductions. We kind of just plan to talk about the year as a whole, how everything wrapped up. We generally start with corn, so I figure we'll go there. We've got arrows here. So what was, you know, what did our state average yield as a whole? Or do you have that number?
You caught me by surprise.
Hey.
I went up. We got time.
Anybody has that number?
I think about 157.
157?
I believe so.
The crops report from last week?
I think they went off the NAS surveys somewhere high 150s. I think of 157 on corn and like 39 on soybeans.
Jesus.
State average.
Worse than last year. 41 on beans. Yeah. No, 31. 31.
Yes, yeah, so it's up a little bit.
Glad Cade's on top of some stuff.
Yeah.
There. Yeah.
Thank you. At least some of us are.
Yeah.
Ares, what's in general, I mean, even just the yield, but also general crop kind of outlook for this year? What do you notice? How did it look? And what are some of the things maybe considering going into next year?
Yeah, we had just had a intriguing year because we had a very good season for some regions in Alabama and challenging in other pockets. Overall, corn was good. Yield ending 157 as a statewide. We did have very nice corn yields everywhere. In North Alabama, corn yield was great. The challenge was the wet and cold spring that we had. Most of the fields, they did not go through a very hard drought during filling of kernels, so it kept the yield good. A lot of fields over 250. I think we did have a very the yield record was broken, and I think Eddie's here. Eddie can jump in and be more specific about what happened to the yield records this year.
Well, most corn growers in North Alabama had really a good crop. And some of them, it was their best crop ever. For the first time, and they'll announce the yields, the National Corn Contest will announce the yields on December the 17th. But I can go ahead and give everybody a preview. We had two growers this year that had over 400 bushels in the National Corn Contest. So the previous record for Alabama was 355. So these growers have beat that record by almost 50 bushels per acre. And we had a dryland grower that did 341. Now, the 400 bushel yields were on some plots that we were working with them, and these were actually 10-acre blocks. So we had over 400 bushels on a 10-acre block irrigated, and over 340 bushels on a 10-acre block dry land. So as far as corn yields, most growers were happy with it. I know that some areas struggled, but as a whole, we probably had as good corn yields as we ever had this year.
Yeah, I'm going to bring just an example. It was a very wet and to a certain extent cold spring as compared to other years. One of our trials, we did have different nitrogen rates, and we did have a very high rainfall precipitation just after planting. And everyone was like, questioned themselves, what about nitrogen? Did we lose all the nitrogen? And we did have a control, and 145 pounds of nitrogen yielded very nicely compared to the control. So even though we see the rainfall events after nitrogen applications, and we think about reapplying the whole rate, in this trial we didn't see the need to apply the whole rate again, because nitrogen was was still there. So we may have lost like 20-30% of the nitrogen rate, but not the entire rate.
Kay, do you want to go next since we're up in North Alabama?
Sure. Corn, you know, a lot of guys had their best dry land corn year ever. I know one farmer, he had 1,200 acres dry land, averaged 230, which is exceptional. Had some corn go over 300. And then you also had folks that stayed too wet, you know, planted late and cut anywhere from 40 bushels to, you know, over 200. That later planted corn, there was a time period in there in late July where it got really hot. It was 100 degrees every day. Nighttime temps were in the 80s, and just had some pollination problems and thus lower yield. But for the most part, the guys that got planted in April and were able to mitigate a lot of that early season rainfall had probably the best corn yields they've ever had. So it was kind of the tale of two crops up our way. Beans were really the same way. And so you had, if you were able to get around the wetness, some really good bean yields. I know some folks in the valley made over 100 bushels an acre. I think a new state record was set this year in soybeans. I think the Hobbs is up in Elkmont, Limestone County. I saw that this week. That's exceptional, especially I think they're 19 years old, the two brothers. I mean, that's wow. That's big, to do something like that at a young age. So, you know, it was just all over the board. You know, double crop beans that got dry didn't do well, but you also had some good beans that were planted late as well, some 60, 80 bushels. It just depends on where you were, if you caught the pop-ups, if you didn't, how wet your ground was early. Just such a strange year to go from having in May 12 to 14 inches of rain. June was, you know, not as wet, and then it just kind of tapered off. So I think overall it was a better crop than 24 was for sure.
Well, you know, we kind of talked earlier in the year where we saw how much corn was going to be in the landscape.
Yeah.
And how it was all starting to turn out to look that, you know, we almost had too good of a corn crop because there's only so many places to go if you don't have storage. So what's y'all's area like in the Wiregrass about storage? I mean, did y'all get the bottleneck that we got? And we had some guys sit in the field for a week and a half with the combine, just couldn't run because nowhere for the corn to go.
Yeah, that was the big thing in the southeast part of the state is, you know, we're just not set up for grain storage too much. And we have, I think, three feed mills are the major outlets for the corn in our areas. And so corn harvest season got extended several weeks this year, longer than normal. And a lot of folks, they could just get one load delivered a day, and that was about all they could do. They could just shell corn and fill up a semi, and just that was it. They had to shut the combine off. And that went on. Like, there was still some corn when peanut season started that was still had not been harvested. So it made for a long harvest season. I think overall our yields were pretty good in southeast Alabama, I would say. But the harvest season was this year, we did have increased acres also. But the harvest season this year, I think, really kind of amplified the issue that if we are going to be in the grain business more than just a year or two, we probably need to look at some solutions for storage and where we can possibly capture some of these better prices in the wintertime also.
Yeah, I think when did we have the scout school in Belmonte?
That was in July.
And I remember seeing all that short corn. So I guess the only thing that they benefited from there is most of the corn had been moved and they were able to at least get it on out. But we kind of saw that, you know, that was going to be a problem. And I guess, you know, years like this really shows you the issues that you really don't even think about. I know we had one farmer who he filled up all his storage with corn and then couldn't harvest their beans because there was nowhere for them to put them. Did you hear of any of that go on too? I mean, did the corn harvest affect the bean harvest too? Okay, arrows, y'all.
it may have happened to a certain extent. I remember back in September at when everything was shut down for like 1 or 2 weeks and nobody was delivering, nobody was receiving grains. It may have impacted a little bit of the of the beans. We did have yields all over the board regarding beans. We didn't have a very nice yield record set this year. But considering the statewide, our official average being 39 bushels per acre, that shows that we still have a long way to go to make that crop better in every situation. Of course, we can't compare corn being planted earlier and getting a very nice weather until July, and then beans having to struggle and survive the drought in August or September, whenever that drought happens, and it happens almost every year. So beans are always struggling more than corn. That's why we need to, as if we know that we're gonna struggle with weather, we need to have everything lined up for a nice yield. So being scouting for pests and diseases and getting the plants up and running fast in the spring, it's just crucial. And also fertility. We have been seeing results showing that the more residual we have, especially P and more fresh applications of potassium may be something that can help farmers here and there. So soil test your soil. I'm sorry. Go sample your soil and test for P and K and also sulfur. It's crucial to have a good balance with a good soil pH there just to help beans fill those seeds, those pods, fighting the drought if that happens.
Talking about wet weather, David, weed control was a little challenging, or how did that pan out for corn?
Yeah, from a weed management perspective, I think we've got to step back into the latter half of 2024 season because we got dry and really hot toward harvest last year. And of course, considering high input costs, there wasn't a whole lot of people that went back to control anything once the crop came out. And as you can imagine, even if they were to have sprayed something or would have been proactive at any weed escapes following harvest in the 2024 season, the weather wasn't favorable to really control those weeds. So as you can imagine, a lot of things went to seed. And then as we set up into the beginning of the 2025 planting window, with all the rain we had, you can imagine what happened. Everything germinated, and even if it did get sprayed early, burned down, or pre-plant, may have worked, but then rains delayed our planting, and so there were multiple applications that we saw statewide in this year. Guys wondered if the residuals that they had initially put out even were going to last, through rainfall, diluting that and washing it through the soil profile. So there were a lot of weed species that were really troublesome this year. A lot of the pigweeds that germinated, I think we saw an uptick in that species, along with some of the tea weeds or prickly cider, airleaf cider. That composite spectrum there. And of course, an early spring lended itself to a lot of grass escapes. So, and then overall, high input costs. So we were trying to cut corners in regard to a herbicide program. And we saw a lot of producers trying to piecemeal their own concoctions together and trying to find really affordable options that may have worked and may have saved them a few dollars compared to the premix products. But at the end of the day, we'll probably see a lot of those same weed populations back as we begin the 2026 season. So I guess a lesson learned from all this is that you know your crop fields better than anybody else, and where those weeds have been a historical problem, expect that to be the same conversation as we go into the 2026 season, and we would just preach like we always have, a proactive approach and relying on the soil residuals before that weed even emerges.
Yeah, grass was our biggest issue, but I actually saw I'm going to call it a lily pad, but it was a pond weed in the middle of a cotton field this year. I mean, that was the story of this year. Rain. But I guess real quick, there were some really good cotton yields.
Yeah,
crappy prices, but good yields.
I know, you know, I've heard many conversations, you know, going on farm. It's like, man, we've made some of the highest yields we ever had, but we ain't getting paid for it. And that's the song on repeat, you know, I'd say across the Southeast, even across the Cotton Belt. So I'm a numbers guy. I like to crunch them. And I got asked this question this morning. So that's why I know these numbers right off the top of my head. So USDA has us at 285,000 harvested acres. Right now, in terms of yield, right now, the predicted yield for December, we're over 2 bale. So 1,011 pounds is our lint yield average here for the state. It's exceptional. We really had some conducive weather that was in our favor. Was it in everybody's favor? Not necessarily. The biggest thing was, to me, that I saw guys that were on time with planting had really favorable conditions in August and September. So that really led to us being able to retain fruit and being able to keep fruit all the way into harvest. So we do have, you know, we saw increased yields. We were able to harvest that bottom crop, and we saw some improved, you know, fiber quality stuff. And just to give like a quality aspect, just a season average, just pulling up from USDA, Microneer's averaging 4.42, staple length 36.68, length 1.14 inches. Strength 30.85 and 82 on uniformity. So looking overall pretty good, but you know, I'm going to allude to this. One of the biggest stories that I get, you know, what's the 26 season going to look like? And I know acreage will be down. Like there's no doubt in my mind that it will be down. To the extent of how much, I'm not really quite sure. Josh, I know earlier this year when we were talking about cotton acreage and all that, we were expecting different percentages across the state based on cotton prices and other stuff. Mm-hmm. What did it actually ended up from the planted acres?
So it was a little bit of a drop. From what I remember when I first came in, that number was hovering around, planted acres was hovering around 300 and something thousand, and we actually harvested 285, so it was a little bit of a dip. You know, one of the biggest things I think that happened, you know, was up in North Alabama, a lot of our cotton acreage, you know, they just couldn't get in to plant, you know, and so those acres were not planted. So it was kind of hard for me to give an estimate of how much I think is going to be planted in 26 because I don't have that aspect. Just for, you know, insect control and some kind of in some market uncertainty, definitely will be down. I'm thinking that it'll be down. I predicted between 15% from harvested acres right now.
Eddie, cotton situation.
Cotton situation was pretty amazing when you think about it. We had a wide range of cotton yields, but for the most part, we were pleasantly surprised with the late cotton yields. We actually had a lot of late cotton that yielded over 2 bales. So in our regions that I have, most of our growers overall, say the Cherokee County, which is one of the largest growing regions up there, the gin told me that they're going to average 1,040 pounds over all their cotton. And that I don't know if that includes some of the dried out acres. We had a lot of replant. We had a lot of prevented planting. We have a lot that they were going to plant late and they switched to soybeans. But the cotton crop was surprisingly good. I think the only negative that we had is that the price was so low, and everybody's mentioned that. So,
do you know the actual percentage that didn't get planted in your region?
Well, we only got...
early on, we were saying about 40%, right?
Yeah, we only planted about 40% of what we were planting, 40 to 50% in some areas. But it was less than half of the intended acres actually got planted. And that didn't get planted either went to soybeans, and we had a lot of prevented planting because it rained all during April, and then it rained just about every day during May, and so we weren't able to get the crop in timely. In other words, we had some early planted cotton in late April, very early May, and then we skipped to late May to June before we started planting again.
Okay, kind of the same in your area, probably not as much or as much not planted as what Eddie had. You may have got a little more in the ground.
Yeah, it just kind of depended on the rainfall. Like over the western part of the counties I work, you know, Fayette, Lamar, Marion, yeah, acreage was off big time over there, hardly any cotton. I would say that a lot of those acres either got put in prevent plant and just laid fallow. Some were planted to beans. I would say cotton acreage over there in that west part was probably down 60-70%.
Okay.
You go up in the Tennessee Valley, and I think you were down anywhere from 30% to 60%, depending on the location. But probably the lowest amount of gin bales that I've known of in a long time in the Tennessee Valley. And but you know, there were some really good yields. You know, some folks made, you know, 3+ bales an acre, and then you had all the way down to 400, you know, pounds an acre, just depending on if you got some rainfall. You're already planting late, and then you come in and you're dependent on pop-up showers, and you know, you miss one, you keep missing them, then you ended up with a lower yield. But I think all in all, in the 11 counties I cover, I think we were probably about half of intended acres got planted, and then the yield will be, you know, pretty close to that state yield.
And so, Aaron, I noticed down in the Wiregrass, I guess I was down there a couple of weeks ago, and I still saw some unharvested fields.
Yeah, right now I would say, if I just had to try to put a figure on it, we're probably still got 15%, 10 to 15% left to harvest, which the harvest season this year has been very good for us. November was, for the most part, pretty dry. You know, historically, October's our driest time of the year, but that's usually when we're harvesting peanuts, and cotton kind of takes a backseat till about November. So the weather has been really good for harvest season this year, but we still do have a little bit left in the fields. The yields were exceptional for our earlier planted cotton, for sure, especially. You know, the later planted stuff did take some yield hits, but that's to be expected, and it normally does. The big thing for us this year was coming in towards the end of summer was the jacids. And I know everybody's, you know, that topic's been talked about, and will continue to be.
I wasn't going to bring it up.
Well, we'll end on peanuts.
Yeah.
So it's a good.
You but it's one that needs to be talked about, especially in the upcoming weeks as we look to the 26 crop, because it's something that we're definitely going to have to keep an eye on and be ready to manage that situation when it comes up, because it will. I shouldn't say it will. We hope it doesn't, but there's a good chance that it will. We were fortunate this year in the southeastern part of the state that it didn't start until so late in the growing season, and that did wind up helping us a good bit on that. But overall, we still made some really great cotton in our part of the state.
Is there any, maybe Josh, you can say, data so far on, maybe in Alabama, how much percent of the cotton got affected by jacid?
Scott's got all that data, and I should have had it pulled up, but it was, I want to say, across the southeast, it was about $12 million worth of added application cost. I can't remember the acres.
That's extra cost applications to control. Okay.
We had some cotton planted in Prattville on September the 10th, and that first heavy frost we got, went out there the next morning. I think we got down to about 27 that morning, and that freeze killed about 95% of them. So that's one thing to look forward to, as long as we don't have a 70-degree, you know, February, and gives them time to repopulate. So we do have some hope that they're at least getting knocked back. But yeah, if anybody's getting ready to order seed and you know, want some suggestions or other opinions, you know, reach out to one of your agents. Scott's pretty much hammered it in our heads enough that we all kind of know what's going on. But I guess we'll move to the moneymaker. I've given Chris plenty of time to look up his numbers and check everything out.
Are you
out.
As prepared as Josh?
Oh, I don't know. He sounded pretty good over there, didn't he?
He did his own work.
Yeah. Well, you know, Alabama, we increased the acres this year. We continue to rise the past few years. So we had around 195,000 acres for the state. And the past few years have also been very tough, dry years for Alabama as a whole with the peanut crop. However, this time was a little bit better. Last year in 24, we averaged around 3,000 pounds. And this year, you know, they have us estimated at 3,300 pounds to the acre. I feel like we could possibly, you know, we might do 35. There was a lot of peanuts in that range, around 3,500 pounds for the state. The thing about it is the later crop, you know, when it turned off dry, that's what really suffered and took it on the chin. And we had a lot of ton peanuts, 2,500-pound peanuts that really pulled the average down. For the most part, the earlier planted stuff, you know, was pretty good, east to west, all the way on the southern end of the state. Grades were better than what we've had the past couple of years. We've really had a lot of low-grading peanuts. And to begin with this year, at the beginning of harvest season, we started out with them a little low in the upper 60s, but we were able to keep waiting and try to get those peanuts to mature on up. They were just really slow to get mature. And then once we got to that point, we stayed around in the 70s there for the most part for the whole crop. And we even got back to the upper 70s, low 80s on a lot of tons this year, which was really good.
Is the total acreage, I know when we did a podcast with you earlier in the, during the planting or somewhere, you were saying this is this year, after so many years, it was like 1.9 million something across the peanut belt or something like
that. Oh, yeah, for the U.S., you said.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we were just under 2 million acres for the United States there this time, which was a big record crop.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. Any major issues or anything in peanuts this year, or kind of same?
Well, I think probably one of the big concerns would be, as we've increased acres over the past few years and leaning more on peanuts, it's probably we may have compromised our rotations in some places, mm-hmm. and that's going to increase our disease pressure and nematode pressure as well. So, you know, people just, you know, just trying to survive on the farm and plant the best crop for the time being. And now that we have done that, we've continued to increase acres, and you know, when we think about the price of these other commodities, you know, we'll probably be decreasing peanuts, I would say, for this coming year.
So the overall acreage would be less than this year?
Yes.
I think. Okay. It will go more to corn?
Definitely, I think corn's going to probably get the acres, I would say. You know, with the price of cotton in the 50s, I don't see it pulling a lot of acres that way.
And what's your take on the peanuts?
Well, I would say it from my perspective, it looked like we had about an average year as far as yield goes. And as I said earlier, well, peanut harvest kind of got stretched out too, just because of the increased acres, like Chris said. That wasn't too many reports of, you know, buying points just having to come to a complete stop because they're out of wagons or trailers or whatever. So that was, in my mind, that was kind of a miracle in and of itself.
Well, I think y'all had a little bit of rain. I know the Southwest, they had a good rain where they pretty much nobody picked for a week and a half. I think the rains worked out just right where it slowed y'all down enough where there weren't.
Yeah, I think that was probably about middle of harvest season, so that did. Mm-hmm. And we were starting to get in a situation where the ground was getting hard, and I know just before harvest season, there was a big worry that everybody was going to run out of blades. because the ground was hard. And then we got a rain just before harvest season that kind of got all that, those fears kind of squelched a little bit. But I can't pinpoint any one particular thing right off that just kind of stuck out in my head. It seemed like just kind of just an average peanut crop. We didn't really have any major pests. You know, some of our diseases probably were a little higher this year than kind of going back to what Chris said because of rotations being shortened and things like that. But it was one of those years you kind of like to have. Yeah. Every now and then there's not any huge surprises in the year for you.
I was pretty pleased with my peanut trial and the wiregrass. Most of the time our yields are, some of our planter trials, you know, they're usually around anywhere from 4 to 5 or maybe 6. This year, yeah, we were close to 7,000, yeah, you know, mm-hmm, in some of our planter seeding rate stuff. So that was pretty good peanuts.
Yeah. I think most farmers in general there that had planted early, and I think they were pretty surprised with their yields as well on the farm. Once they started digging them and got into them, they were better than what they thought they were.
You talked earlier about the rotation thing. Is there something to consider there for growers who are maybe thinking going back to peanuts again this year on some of the same land? Or
Well, it's certainly a possibility there. Some will. Every farm's different, and as well as every farmer, so they're always trying to look at the numbers and see what they have the best opportunity and chance to survive another year in. Some of those will do that. Obviously, if we try to encourage those that are going to go that route to, you know, really think about on variety selection and, mm-hmm, try maybe a nematode resistant variety this time and try to do some things early there at planting for help give them some a little bit better edge on disease pressure, and maybe apply fungicide there then and for, you know, and definitely start spraying earlier. Yeah. You know, don't
use
wait.
Peanut RX.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
situation.
Yeah. They can recommend that.
What about cover crops? Are they up or down? Or people get them in on time? People just not trying?
You know, one of the biggest problems with that is we were talking about the dry weather for, mm-hmm, us, and so we had that long extended dry period. So, like I said, the cost of the cover crops, we were sitting there and they didn't want to put them out there and then get a poor stand or hurt the other seed as far as missing that from lack of germination and some of that marginal moisture. So as it rocked on and got drier and drier, that dry period extended, and they was able, some of them went ahead and just started planting even though it was really dry, just so because it was ensured it was just going to lay there and not germinate until we got a rain. Right. And then we started getting some of those rains now recently, but you know, it's been raining, kept them out of the field 10 days here. Mm-hmm. 10 days is pretty critical as we get right here to the this time of year, trying to get that stuff done. So just about to say that they're a lot lower.
Yeah. I know some of the growers in my area had some NRCS funding, and their cutoff, I think, was Thanksgiving. And I know some of them took about an hour off to go eat Thanksgiving, and they were on a drill all day. I've seen Prattville, yours, Chandler, looks good. They're up. Did you get everything in that you wanted to get in?
Yeah, so I was a little behind on some of my trials, just like everyone else. We were waiting for some of them rains. And so, yeah, we have the Prattville, and then we just finished planting the last one this week. And so I'm wrapped up for the season for planting cover crops. But we'll see how they turn out and kind of in the springtime if we have a lot of dry periods and kind of later planted, how that biomass will work out for us.
Well, with so many people here, I know we kind of rushed through everything. I tried to get a recap of the state as a whole, but we do want to make one introduction here. We hired an agent in the place of Christy, moved from the East Central down to the Southwest, and we made a legacy hire here. So we've got Rudy Yates' son here, Will. Just tell us a little bit what your background in school was. I guess you just finished, or you're finishing up this weekend. I guess you're graduating this weekend.
Yes, I'm graduating Saturday. So I completed my bachelor's degree at Auburn University in biological and agricultural technology management. That was a really good degree with precision agriculture. Did some drone work when I started my master's here at Auburn as well. And then I'm graduating again, like I said, tomorrow with a master's in crop soil environmental sciences.
good deal. We're glad to have you, and we know you at least have somebody that knows what he's doing to help you along the way. I'm in, you know, your dad's old position, and folks still ask how he's doing, and really enjoyed working with him. One more thing we do want to mention, our Auburn University Row Crop Short Course is coming up January the 20th and 21st. It will be held in Prattville this year. You can find it on the ACES website, register. I think we do have a cutoff for free registration. Do we know when that is?
We are allowing everyone to register for free until the day.
Okay. So look forward to seeing you there. We've got we'll start at lunch on the first
1:30
day. 1:30 on January the 20th at the Doster Community Center in Prattville, Alabama. Speakers from in-house and other universities across the U.S. So look forward to having y'all there. Any last thoughts, comments?
Going into 2026.
I think we've all got the same feelings as everybody else. Just when it gets here, and we'll deal with it.
See how sharp you can get the pencil.
Yeah.
It's getting pretty sharp.
And especially with all the input price, all that, I know Channel, I think, put out in one of the crop newsletter, all that, but soil sampling's happening across the state right now, so, you know, make sure you don't cut down on that or anything, because that's going to help you make good decisions on your fertility program. And we'll probably revisit early next year to maybe bring up some considerations regarding a few of the other things in January and February from different specialists as well.
Yeah, we'll probably try and be back in the middle of January with another episode as we go back and try to get all of our grant stuff ready and plan all the research that's going to happen next year. But again, thank y'all for being here. Thank everybody for listening in. And we'll catch you next time.
Yeah, and this is the last episode of Season 5. So when we come next year, we will officially begin our Season 6 of the Alabama Crops Podcast. Thank you all.
The Alabama Crops Report is a production of the Alabama Cooperative Extension System.